It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. Residents in the Eastern Panhandle have been protesting a new manufacturing plant for weeks.
Children will be affected by the toxins that are put in this. I don't care what Rockwool says. This is not what we want here.
The Rockwool Company held community open houses last week to try and allay those fears, but did it work? This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. The European-based insulation manufacturing company Rockwool held a handful of community open houses last week in Jefferson County. The aim was to better connect with residents, many of whom don't want the company to locate in the Eastern Panhandle. As Liz McCormick reports, Saturday's Rockwool open house drew a crowd of hundreds who rallied outside to protest against the plant.
Three to 400 people turned out for the final Rockwool Community Open House on Saturday at the Jefferson County Community Center, but most came to rally against the company. Dozens of Stop Rockwool or No Toxic Rockwool banners and signs lined car windows, trucks, or were held by protesters. They chanted and cheered and even sang Almost Heaven by John Denver. These residents are angry and scared. They're concerned about the plant's impact on air quality and health. It's slated to be built just a few miles from four public schools and neighborhoods, and it will have two smokestacks. Harpers Ferry resident Linda Bishop was one of the protesters.
Children will be affected by the toxins that are put in this. I don't care what Rockwool says. This is not what we want here.
The issue has also attracted nearby out-of-state folks like David Pratt of Winchester, Virginia. Pratt says the company will affect the entire tri-state region, not just West Virginia.
The pollution from this plant will travel. It'll travel 30, 35 miles, and no matter what promises they make, the bottom line is it is pumping pollution into the air, and we don't want it in our area.
Pratt says he thinks the region, including the Eastern Panhandle, would benefit better from jobs in agribusiness and tourism rather than industry. A couple days prior to this rally, the first open house event offered by Rockwool attracted just a handful of locals. Rockwool's North American president, Trent Ogilvie, was there.
What we didn't do enough of, obviously, is engage with everybody. We missed a part of this community in our communication and didn't answer their questions well enough. So we're doing that. We want to get everybody's questions, get the facts, and try to earn people's trust.
The Rockwool Group has been around for 80 years. The company touts itself as green, using state-of-the-art technology to clean and melt down basalt rock and recycled slag, and spin the fibers in a fashion kind of like how cotton candy is made. The company plans to recycle water it uses and employ a stormwater management system. But there will be two smokestacks releasing a range of chemicals like benzene and formaldehyde. The facility in Ranson is slated to offer 150 jobs, ranging from entry-level operators, electricians, and welders to management positions. Entry-level positions will make $17 an hour. Managers will have an annual salary of around $85,000. Rockwool says all employees will receive full family health benefits, a 401k, and 2 weeks paid vacation. Tables lined the company's open houses, set up like a job fair. Videos of testimonials looped on monitors, product demonstrations, and air quality charts were displayed, and several Rockwool employees from Canada and Denmark were available to chat. But not many protesters went inside. Some people did, though, like Shepherdstown resident Lynn Wagner. She found it disturbing.
It's very pretty, and it sounds really good, but you have to look behind that and see what the reality is going to be in terms of the toxic release into our small, lovely community that's located in a valley. Jefferson County is an area that it's agriculture, it's tourism, it's how this fits into that landscape. Well, it doesn't fit into this landscape, period.
Other residents had a different reaction. Kearneysville resident Barbara Fuller was not a protester, but shared concerns about emissions.
The hard questions of are you going to poison us were met with compassion. no snark. I was genuinely just, I was impressed.
Fuller says she's not 100% on board yet and wants to do her own research. Rockwell's North American president, Ogilvy, says his company will be installing air monitoring stations near the Ranson plant that the public will be able to access.
We're going to hire and make sure the public knows that there's an independence, somebody, I don't know who, to tell us where the most sensitive place to put them. We're not going to put them inside our factory. Let's go put them on a school or somewhere where the wind blows in the right direction. Then it's been attested by somebody that that's a good spot for them. We'll make sure the information's public. We'll make sure there's a third party attesting to the information and do everything we can to make sure people don't think it's just us making up data or monitoring ourselves, because it won't be.
He also hopes to foster better communication between Rockwool and Jefferson County beyond the open houses and after construction is complete.
We're forming a stakeholder group of 18, a cross-section of the community, 18 people, that will meet every month, will advise us, tell us concerns they're hearing so we can keep on, so it doesn't end. And it won't end after the factory starts either. We'll always have a really enhanced community relations program.
A Rockwool spokesperson said 200 people from the area attended the open houses. Meanwhile, one online protest group has grown to include nearly 8,000 people. In a statement handed out by members of that group, members said Rockwool is, quote, completely wrong for Jefferson County. There is nothing Rockwool can say that will change that. We will never agree that's a good idea, no matter how many open houses Rockwool holds, end quote. The Ranson plant broke ground in June and is expected to have completed construction by 2020. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Jefferson County.
The father of the steel drum, Elliot Minette, also known as Ellie, passed away here in West Virginia this week. Originally from Trinidad, Minette made West Virginia his home in the 1990s when he came to West Virginia University to teach students how to build and play steel drums. For 80 years, he developed and popularized the instrument. He was honored during the 2011 West Virginia Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony with the Spirit Award. Here he is accepting that award and then performing a combination spoken word steel drum piece with Kathy George called Little Girl.
I've had an epic journey, most impossible at times, incredible to the point that I felt that I will give it up. Because trying to create a musical instrument to be recognized, you will not imagine how difficult it would be. I mean, it would be to do, because no one will accept what you're trying to do. And what made me accomplish what I did was because I listened to a lot of classical music from very young. From 11 years old, classic Beethoven, Brahms, Mendelssohn, Handel. And I listened to the beautiful music. And I say, I want to transform the trash can into beautiful music. How do I do that? And I slept it and I dreamt it. I was obsessed with the thinking of creating a beautiful instrument from the trash can. And later, I came up with the ideas little at a time. As I say, the incredible journey was heartrending at times. I felt I was walking up a dark tunnel and didn't know where I was going. But something was driving me on. And ultimately, I have the instrument I will say to you candidly, I gave to the musical world an instrument which could be adapted to play any type of music, classical, bossa novas, calypso, jazz, it can play anything. We want to develop the instrument from science now instead of hand and mind, and I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I know the young people that I have trained, I know they will take it further, one step at a time. They will take it further. So I'm going to play a little for you, a little girl, and you'll hear the dynamics of the instrument, which all depend on sustenance. There are no resonators, no acoustic boards, no propellant, no anything on the instrument, nothing. All depends on that instrument, the vibration and echoes, which I develop in my hand. Think about it. Your hand manipulates the steel in such a way that you can move overtones back and front and line them up in a way in a progression. We should just sustain each other and give you an idea of what it sounds. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, very much. I hope I didn't go too long. Okay.
Little girl,
with such pretty eyes. You have such a lovely smile. You stole my heart with such funny little things from the start. And as I think of you, I believe things come true. Just as pretty autumn leaves, they will fall from trees, blowing in the breeze. Feel free to call and say hello at any time, wherever you may go, because I will always think of you, and when I'm blue, you will pull me through. So, as you grow up through the years, please never shed another tear. Just let time erase your fears. You are much too young to shed a tear for anyone. Little girl, I miss you so. You'll never know how much you mean to me. Little girl, I love you so. You'll never know the things I say are really so. Little girl, I do love you so. You're my little girl. You're my heart and my soul.
Again, that was Ellie Minette, the creator of the steel drum, accepting the Spirit Award during the 2011 West Virginia Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Minette passed away Wednesday. He was 90 years old. First released by Bill Withers in 1974, The Same Love That Made Me Laugh has been covered by artists like Diana Ross, Al Jarreau, and Joan Osborne. This week, it's our Song of the Week, performed by Grammy-winning blues and soul man Robert Cray, who makes his sixth appearance on Mountain Stage on this week's Encore broadcast.
I'm giving all that I have to music, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And if you don't want my love, I don't wanna live. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Well then. Must the same love that makes you laugh make you cry? Why you wanna make me cry? Why you wanna make me cry?
That was blues legend Robert Cray performing The Same Love That Made Me Laugh live on Mountain Stage. To hear the performance and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.